This is the Morning Mayhem with Howard Feldman and the team.
David Abramson, a very good morning. How are you?
Yes. Good morning, Howard.
So, David, there's a lot of talk around how lockdown will end, okay, when it will end, but it is going to end at some point, whether it's in the next week, whether it's the week after. We don't know that, but either way, at some point, we're going to have to reintegrate into society. And and the reality is that COVID-19 is not going to have disappeared. We're going to be entering into a world where it is very much prevalent and is going to be probably with us for the next year or so, or at least until a vaccine is found. Yes. So the question is, how do we deal with our own anxiety? One of my kids yesterday said he feels very anxious when we ask him to run to the shops to pick up something. He just wants to rather be home. And I think that echoes the feelings of a lot of us, that it is just easier to be at home. But we know that that's not realistic.
Absolutely. And I think that's the catch-22 that we find ourselves in, is that, you know, when we think about a threat, we think about something that is, you know, causing us to have a fight or flight response. You know, we normally then kind of deal with the situation and then, you know, move on. But in these circumstances, there is this, for want of a better phrase, chronic uncertainty. And that's
chronic
what
uncertainty is a nutty. We like that
adding
phrase.
That.
Write that down. Chronic is chronic uncertainty. Yes.
Okay. But I do think for me that is the concern, that the threat is ongoing. So, and as human beings, from a psychological point of view, we're very, very clever and well, you know, kind of evolved amazingly, that if we do face a threat, you know, we are well kind of equipped to deal with it. But then hopefully it's over and then we can move on. But we're not well equipped to deal with something that goes on and on and on. And there is this difficulty with the situation where this threat is, until, as you say, we find a vaccine, is ongoing. So it's like living, you know, 0 to 10, we're kind of living in the state of anxiety, which is kind of like at a 6.5 or 6 at most times. And that has and that's very, very difficult to deal with. It doesn't just end, you know, it's this slow kind of drip, for want of a better description. So from a psychological perspective, it is very difficult. It's very, very difficult to get to a point where you're saying, right, the threat is over and now I'm going to move forward and going to find, as everyone's describing, a new type of normal. Because the threat is still there.
Do we force ourselves to do things that we wouldn't have done? You know, the problem is that we've got this, the threat of the virus is almost irrational in the sense, or the fear of the virus, in that we can't see it. So it creates monsters everywhere. I walk into to an office building, I open a door, have I just touched the virus? I get into the lift, I open it, I sit at my desk, has somebody been there? Do I need to clean my desk? How often am I cleaning my desk? I go and make myself a cup of coffee. You know, you look at people as threats. It really does create a world of invisible monsters, and that's gotta be quite scary if you spend any time thinking about it.
Absolutely. And that's where all these descriptions of, you know, people experiencing post-traumatic stress comes from, because really one of the biggest symptoms, the most common symptom of a post-traumatic stress is hypervigilance, where you kind of, you know, experience this feeling of threat from, you know, and that you're going to be under attack again. So for me, absolutely, it's a very, very difficult thing to deal with when you realize that you cannot see this threat and you're not sure where it is or who has it. So I think
the question is it even hypervigilance, or is it just vigilance? Is that the way we have to be?
Well, I think for me, if we have to, and I think that goes to some of the solutions, is that if we stop for a second and think about and we've said this, and this has been said many times, that if we actually think about, you know, the amount or the percentage of people that get sick and who recover, it's huge. It's in the 90s, if I understand correctly. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, the first thing to do is to understand what the threat really is, and to really try and bring in our rational thinking as well. Stop for a second. And think. And think about the facts. So it's not about trying to stop and kind of talk yourself into something that's not real, or try and, you know, give yourself a self-made motivational talk in order to kind of move forward without using facts. No, look at the facts. And the facts are really that yes, people have died from it, but mostly the people who have died are people who have had pre-existing conditions and who have been elderly. So it is very, very important to, when we start moving forward. Yes, it's not going to be the same, and that's also very difficult, because, and I've kind of gone on about this, and I will continue to go on about it, that we thrive on predictability and consistency. And you know, we need our predictability and consistency most when we are under threat, when we are experiencing trauma, and we don't have that now. And that's why it makes it so much more complicated. But I do think, for me, it really is, for the next little while, going to be a very difficult time. All of us have got repair work to do, you know, as we re-enter the world. And what I mean by that is that we're going to need to be very aware, which also takes a lot of energy, about our emotional responses and, you know, to the situation around us, and to, as much as possible, mediate that with rational thinking. And along the way, create a new predictability, a new way of being, which is very difficult in the beginning, because we all want to kind of return to what we knew, because that will make us feel safe. But we, you know, we all know that that's not going to happen. So it's going to take time. And I think we really, really, and it might sound like a cliche, but it is so important that we be patient with ourselves. We really need to be patient with ourselves and understand that the next little while we go through this process, is going to be a very difficult time.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, I'm just, as you're speaking, I'm thinking, you know, we have to use our rational brain, but at the same time, we're being asked not to. And that's
and it's made all of us hypochondriacs. Like, you do,
It had the opposite of me, on me.
Really?
Opposite.
Really? You're the worst.
I'm the worst hypochondriac, but I'm so, I don't
know.
I'm definitely.
No, I diagnose myself every day.
No, for some reason it's had exactly the opposite, because maybe I'm in like this fight mode.
Yeah.
Which of course is deeply problematic, exactly. Because all the adrenaline's just going to kill me. But way before the virus does. But it's, you know, sorry, David.
But no, absolutely. And I think that's the point, is that we've got to, you know, I think it's important that we start taking small steps. And what I mean by that is like, you know, when we do come out of quarantine, out of isolation, self-isolation, you know, we start taking small steps to regain our sense of predictability. So it might be small things like going actually into a coffee shop and sitting down and having a cup of coffee, or getting a takeaway might be a first step. And having corrective experiences. And what I mean by that is that you go out into the world and you see that it's, you know, that you don't, you know, go get coronavirus immediately when you leave your house. That you aren't as susceptible maybe as, you perceived yourself to be when you take certain precautions. So I think for me it is about, it's almost like a little child going into the world, having fallen down, and then regaining its, you know, needing to regain its sense of trust in the world.
I agree that really is logical, rational, and sensible.
Yes.
But now I go and I buy my coffee, and in my takeaway cup, am I being irrational if I have my disinfectant wet wipes with me and I wipe down my cup? Is that me being a bit OCD or not OCD? Where do we balance? How do we balance ourselves? I guess is the question.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the question, is like, you know, this is not, you know, how life was 6-7 weeks ago for us.
Mm.
So maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago, if we had to walk into a shop and start wiping down our, you know, with disinfectant and wiping down our hands and in the cup, and then, you know, and being very careful what we touch, you would clinically be diagnosed with an obsessive compulsive disorder. And so, but things have changed. Things have changed. And the reality is that, you know, again, we talk about the new normal. And there is, you know, it's going to be very new, and there's nothing normal. Really what it is really trying to, you know, deal with the situation and adapt. And so again, now if you walking in and using your wet wipes and, you know, having only a takeaway cup would be seen as absolutely a appropriate response to a new situation. So again, that's, it's so important to keep in mind, you know, the context in which we're doing it. And so, yeah, absolutely, that wouldn't be a problem at all. But you're hitting on a very important point, Howard, is that people who were, you know, struggling, you know, psychologically, emotionally before, you know, are much more susceptible now to, you know, to psychological difficulties, because this is going to put a lot more strain on, you know, one's, you know, system, one's ability to moderate one's behavior, because the moderation comes in is when one is able to kind of use your, defenses, use your logic, use your rationality about what is needed in the situation, and then what becomes pathological, what becomes behaviors which stops us from functioning in the world in a productive way. And I think that's where the difficulty kind of comes in, when it stops us from functioning in the world. So certainly going into a coffee shop, using your, you know, cleaning your hands, taking the necessary precautions, is certainly something new. But is it, I think that's where we need to draw the line. Is it causing one's difficulty to move forward in the world, and to function to a greater degree in the world? And that's the line. And if you are struggling to function in the world, you know, then that's when professional help is needed.
Interesting. Melinda asked a great question, but David, I'm going to ask the question, then we're going to go to ads and some music. We'll let you answer that when we come back. She says, which is worse, the hypervigilance of wiping everything down, or just simply returning to a comfort zone and not worrying about wiping anything at all? When you think about those types of activities, wow. It's just like over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the time being, absolutely. I mean, I saw a picture of, you know, a very orderly, social distanced protest in Israel, where you know, that literally these protesters.
Yeah, but it lacks. I'm sorry, but it lacks energy. you know, to go to a protest and you're standing 2 meters apart on a spot marked X, really.
Too much decorum for a real protest.
Whatever happened to spontaneity?
Well, I think that's such an important thing. And the question that we had before the break was so important.
All right. And that was the question, which is worse, to be hypervigilant, wipe everything down, or return to your old comfort zone and just not bother, not wipe anything down?
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. You know, in psychology, we talk of, you know, extremes. You know, it's either black or white. And, you know, and the healthy pot, the healthy way to go is down the middle often, and in most circumstances. And I think, you know, that's exactly what anxiety wants one to do. So even before this whole, you know, pandemic, that's what anxiety really caused. You know, that's when anxiety causes difficulty, when it says, stay still, do what you're doing in order to remain safe. And if you keep doing that, you will be safe. But the problem with that is it might be true, but it debilitates one's life. So if one, for example, cannot drive on the highway, okay, if you avoid the highway, therefore you will be safe. But it's going to affect your lives. You know, for most people's lives, if they cannot drive in certain areas, you know, and make their journey shorter. And that might not be the best example. But, you know, so to answer the question is that if you stay at home and you continue to be absolutely isolated and clean everything, then that's how you are. You are stuck. You are stuck in that position. And that's exactly what happens with OCD, and any kind of, you know, extreme levels of anxiety. And so really the aim of anxiety is to make us feel stuck, that we can't move forward, and we need to keep doing the same thing in order to be okay.
So, and David, would it be helpful, therefore, just saying it practically, is let's say we rely on whichever that doctor is, you know, we've been referring a lot to Dr. Anton Marburg. We've been following his advice very closely. He brings us the daily report. If he were to make a list, or if we were to go through a list with him and say, right, these are the things that you should be doing. Arrive at your office, use a key to press the lift button.
Right.
You know, wipe your hands at, you know, how often should you, use hand sanitizer? In other words, take the choice, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, away from ourselves, or maybe not the choice, but give us an objective measure as to what is expected of us to do at a time like this, so that we don't try not to do more, and we try not to do less.
I think it's a fantastic idea, because really what we're looking for, and I'm going to go on about this
please do, it's important.
You know, it's, you know, the predictability. We're looking for some kind of guidance. And I think for me, that is an excellent idea to kind of have guidelines to use, almost like when you open up a complicated, you know, gizmo. You know, you need instructions. How do I go about this? Okay, step one, step two, step three. And I think for me, yes, it would be absolutely useful, very, very useful to have guidelines to use. But that's exactly what they are. They are guidelines, but it, you know, and so we can't stick to them 100%.
No, exactly. It's not halakha,
but it certainly gives us
and what it also does, and you and I have spoken about this numerous times, is that many of us are absolutely exhausted during lockdown.
Yes.
And the question is why? Obviously part of it's anxiety, part of it is perhaps a lack of physical exercise, but some of it is also because everything that we do now, whether we're popping out to the shops or not, we have to consider and think and have us, you know, have us touch something, don't touch this. Whereas in a short couple of weeks ago, you would have gone to the shops and there was a good chance you wouldn't remember any part of that experience because your brain was on automatic.
Well,
about everything. If we have those rules, a list, then it kind of helps us there as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I will never forget learning to drive a manual car. It was hell, you know, to remember everything that you needed to do and put the clutch in at the right time and then accelerate and then to watch the road as well. And it was just so much to think about. But then after a while, you know, somehow, you know, you landed up at your destination and you hadn't had any kind of thought around how you actually got this vehicle there. And I think that's important when we think about the situation now, is that in the beginning, it is going to be more mechanical. It is going to be more step by step. I have to think things through. And that's where I suppose, you know, once we do create, and I'm going to call this, you know, in sport, we talk about muscle memory. Mm-hmm. You know, once we are used to the new way of being, it is going to be automatic. It is going to be how we live our lives. But in the beginning, I think your suggestion of having guidelines. So when you have your teacher sitting in the car and saying, please, you must always put your clutch in when you are moving, you know, when you are changing gears, because it's going to, you know, damage the car. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's great. But we won't need those instructions in time because it will become automatic. It will become the new normal. It will become the way that we are. So it is going to take time. And I think maybe we all are going to be learner drivers now, again.
I love that as a metaphor.
Really,
what do you
is,
think, Celeste?
It really is all about routine, because I'm just thinking of just my own routine. With the lift, for example, the doors that you have to open to get into the building and the lift. So I'll use my arm. It's become normal now for me to use my arm to push the door.
And you don't even think about it anymore.
I don't even think about it anymore. So, you know, when I get to the lift, I press it with my elbow, you know, stuff like that. So it's become normal to the point where I don't even think about it. It's not even a thing of I'm trying to protect myself from the virus.
It's just what
it's
you
just
do.
Exactly.
And that's what we're aiming for. It is 8:39. David Abramson, thank you as always. Incredibly helpful, I think. I hope you found it as well. If you did or didn't, let us know your thoughts. 34519 or 061-895-1019. David, we'll catch up with you next week.